100% owned and operated by Shawnee Radio App. They said we couldn't do it, and we did it anyway. The hottest independent network in the world.
Kaboom!
Kaboom!
Hey, welcome to the Patrice Bradley Show, where helping others is the name of the game. And on this show, we push purpose, positivity, and personal growth. Today, we have the pleasure of speaking to Miss Michelle from Soul Share from the Chat, honey. And she's going to be sharing with us today about making faith moves, aka stepping out on faith. I got to tell y'all, what pushed me to bring Michelle on with us today was our behind the scenes conversation when I interviewed with her on Soul Share from the Chat. So I tell y'all, honey, give her a big round of applause. Let's get on into it. Give it to her. And I want y'all to welcome her, honey, because she has a story to tell and I can't wait for her to share it with us. Welcome, Miss Michelle.
Hello there. Glad to be here. Thank you for having me on.
Anytime, honey. So tell us, what's your story? Tell us about you.
So I recently relocated to Florida. I am from Missouri. I am a Midwest girl. We don't live off on farms. We live in the city. I'm from St. Louis, Missouri. And I'm the youngest of five children. Turning 40 this year, so you know that's a lot in itself for me, especially not married, I don't have kids, I got a fur baby, and and just grew up doing a lot of things. I've done everything from play music to performing music to being a career counselor to being in the mortgage industry for about 19 years, and you know, now I'm doing my show on YouTube. I also build websites and got a whole nother part of consulting business going on. So that's it in a nutshell.
Well, honey, you done gave us some good stuff. So honey, we can make that work. Listen, moving up to 40 is a beautiful thing. So honey, don't be scared of it, okay?
I ain't scared at all. I'm ready.
40 is going to be fierce and fabulous because that is exactly what you decide is going to be and how you want to be. What I love about our behind the scenes chat was that we were talking about faith, and it just was such a beautiful thing to hear two sisters really going in about faith and what it means to them. So I kind of want to share a little bit of the background for the listeners, I should say. What is faith for you? So let's first start off with, who do you subscribe by? Who do you subscribe with?
What do you mean? Like, what do I believe in?
What do you believe in?
So I am a spiritual person, definitely believe in God. I believe in the higher power to the utmost. I was raised in the Baptist church. Ain't no getting away from that, especially when you've experienced his power. So ain't no getting away from that. But I also believe in the power of prayer and the power of manifestation. So that's where I'm at.
I love how you spoke about you were raised in the Baptist church. Now, being raised from a Baptist church, honey, I know, honey, we can shake the whole building down. They be ready to go, and then, honey, you let them sisters
get church all day.
All day, tearing. So I definitely understand how that goes. But I love how you said for you, you've picked up your own pieces of what you were raised with and what you brought together for yourself. In your journey, how did you know to have that faith to step out? Before we even get there, what caused you to start to step out? What was the reason behind the step out?
Stepping out from the church. Let me choose my words wisely. It started with me basically studying for myself. So when I got baptized, I was told by my spiritual counselor at the church, she was just like, now that you've completely crossed over, the devil is going to try every which way to get at you. And some of this stuff came true. So what I had to do, I knew what I was taught growing up to believe, but I was like, you know what, as a person who likes history and all of that stuff, I said, let me start really studying for myself. Not just studying the book, studying the context behind the book. And I just grew with more and more questions as I've grown and gotten to know more stuff. I grew with more questions, and some questions still to this day are unanswered, and kind of left to draw my own conclusions and my own relationship with God. I understand the relationship with God a little bit on a different side now. So that's kind of what how it got started and how I stepped out.
So that was the first part of your stepping out. But was there another area in your life that you stepped out, like in your job? Like you talked about, you're from Missouri.
Yeah. Show me state.
That's a definitely step out situation. How did that part step out for you? How did that form?
So for me, I am my aunt likes to call me a gypsy. So I've lived in like 5 different states. Okay. Ever since I was 24. So I started the mortgage industry very young, like 19 years old. And I had already experienced my major corporate layoff by the time I was about 24 years old. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I kind of already, like, I was already knowing, like, this path for me, like, this is, I understand how corporate works. Like, they basically don't care about you. It's all about their dollar line. And once they finish using you or whatever the case, they're going to push you out. And then when they need you again, because I've been in that space, they needed me again. I came back and then only for it to get laid off again. So mm-hmm. then that put in my mind is, okay, you need to start asking for exactly what you want, negotiating the salary that you want and getting what you want out of the situation and put yourself first, because these companies do not care about you at all. And so I've lived in not only, you know, Florida, I'm hoping this is my last home. I'm ready to like settle down now because I've been all over the place, but I've lived in Vegas. I lived in Cali, Arizona, Texas. Only place I haven't been, Nashville. Only place I haven't been is on the East Coast. And a lot of people do ask me, they're like, how do you just go like that? I know it's easier because you don't have children, but I was like, you know, even I know people with children that do it. My brother had a whole family that he's had to move from place to place because of the military and, you know, things of that nature. So it's almost like when you get, you know, when you learn that life is only to be lived one time, like you got one shot at this and it's short and you just don't know how short it is. It for me, it's like, okay, take the risk and see what happens. It can either turn out to be your worst decision or your best decision, but you won't know until you actually like try it. So ain't nothing wrong with trying it. And if it don't pan out the way you want it to, okay, figure out, okay, this is where this went wrong at, recalibrate and try again. So that's kind of how.
Taking that risk. That to me is the biggest piece, that taking risk, because I know for me, I ended up, mine wasn't as big as yours, but it's getting there. It's moving to directions. For me, I am a Miami-Dade baby, born and raised in the county of Dade, 305, stand up. I am me. I didn't want to leave. I didn't want to go. I wanted to stay there. I was good with helping and doing good in the neighborhood and seeing the children in my community still work and grow. And I had what I call a God moment. I literally had, you know, things happening where it was like, okay, you need to move. And yeah. Every door at some points down there just started to just slowly slam close. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wait a minute, hold on, Jesus. Every door. And then I realized as this was happening, he was getting me prepared for something new. And sometimes I'll speak for me. It's a little troublesome. It's a little hard to say, I'm going to step out when you're so used to being planted. And that was my thing. I was used to being planted. I knew where I wanted to go. I knew how I wanted to happen. And I was just ready. And I saw myself being there and being that community person for forever in that space. And then when I moved, it was like, ooh, what do I do? And for me, it took me a minute to really discern, okay, is this my voice or is this God's voice? Mm-hmm. And clearly, it was clearly his voice, because things that I had been doing for years were closing down, shutting up, and things were happening. How did it work for you to know that, hey, this is God's voice, not my voice?
You know what, with the moving around, I'm gonna tell you, I'm a segue into what happened this week since we talked last, and that'll make it clear, because with me just moving around, that was me. Okay. I can't necessarily say that I think when God was telling me to do things, it was kind of that's a whole nother topic for another day. But it was me fighting against, I don't know if I should do that. And then the things that he was, you know, allowing me to do, it was a conflict with family. And so I didn't grow well enough until I didn't have enough confidence to say, I'm going to do what he says and do it anyway. You know, so I tell people now, I think I'm living my alternative timeline, because I didn't go the direction I was supposed to go. I took the long way around. And so here I am. And so when I say that, God's voice. So I recently just quit my job to do all my stuff full time.
Okay.
And how we got to that point was I've been holding on to this job because I wanted to get a house built up in Ruskin. And so I've been holding on to the job, but just been that little voice telling me, no, it's time. You need to quit. You need to quit. Because they were stressing me out. And I was just like, I can't quit. It got to the point to where I clocked out one day and was in tears, because that is how crazy. It was almost like, because I wasn't quitting, I was trying to hold on. It was like they were getting worse. The attacks were getting worse to the point that I was calling HR for harassment. It just wasn't getting any better. And then one day I clocked in and something happened that I told them, please don't do this to me. Because last time y'all did this to me, I was literally in tears from the stress. And so they tried to do it again, and they totally ignored how I felt or anything like that, and proceeded to do what they wanted to do anyway. And it was at that moment, there he was again, was like, been telling you, you need to quit. Just trust me. And so I was like, you know what? My 2 weeks notice, I'm done. And let me tell you, I have never felt better. Like, the weight lifted off my shoulders is crazy to feel that. I have no qualms about it. Like, I know I did the right thing. Like, I know I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And now I'm stepping into something that I've been building on my own on the side for 3 years. And it's almost like, you know, it's like one of those things, if you spend that time, that in between time, like getting ready. So when it's time, you don't have to get ready, you're ready. So here I am.
You talked about the small voice. Cause so many times when we hear a small voice, we like, nah, that ain't him. He ain't talking to me. And it's interesting because as you were talking about it, I literally was having flashbacks about my old job.
Yeah,
and how it seemed like the more I kept saying, okay, I'm gonna try to hang in here. If I can just make it to so many years towards retirement, then I'm good and I'm fine. And it got to the point that the longer I kept trying to hold on and hold on, it wasn't working. No matter what I did, no matter how it worked, it was never enough. It was constantly, you have to do more than this. Yeah. And
oh, man.
The point where I was literally burnt out. I wasn't at the point of tears, but I literally was having headaches every day. I was in literally hated to go into the parking lot. For those who know me, I am very much into my Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm in the parking lot holding prayer meetings with other people.
Yeah.
I'm like, listen, so none of us snap up in here got to be going under the brown jacket. We need to line up on this thing. And it was just so much, and it was happening so quickly that I realized, you know what? This is not the plan for you. You should be at a space where you should have peace. You're not here to be fighting over and over again. To try to hold on to something that honestly, man, never been your place from the beginning.
Yeah.
Just hearing you talk about that, it was just something. And then you talked about a little bit of that when they wanted you back. And this is the piece that really hit me. When you said, when the job will call, you will go back. And you really impressed upon me that piece of negotiating what you want. I think us, we've been taught, get this good county job, get this job whatever, corporate job, that we don't understand that just like you go on that job, they're using you for your mind and paying you for your time, and we get nothing out of it. And then we understand why years later we're sitting here burned out, disgusted, cussing them out, when really we literally, I know for me, we were happy to sign the contract at that moment because we're like, and not realizing later we were going to be like, I can't stand these people now. This is not it. Because we went into something that was, we thought at the moment was a savior, but turned around and became soul sucking.
Yeah. Yes, very much so. And you know what? It's amazing. That's why, like, part of my, I decided to add to my consulting, career counseling, because the amount of people that tell me they have never tried to negotiate their salary is overwhelming. It's like, well, it sounded good, so I just took it. I was like, no, they are offering, unless they say this is Stern, like they'll say that's what it is. But if they say starting at, or you know, certain verbs that they say, that lets you know that they're open to negotiation. And more times than not, everything is open for negotiation. And that's where you step in. You may be happy with $20 an hour, but that might have been the minimum that they can offer. And they're going to see if you're going to take it. You could have got $25, $26 out of that had you say, hey. And then you got to throw your experience in there. You know what? Look, hey, I've been doing this for ABC, I offer this, and you know, this and this, I think that you could give me XYZ. So they tell you $20 on the minimum scale, and you say, no, I want 26. They might come back with 24 and a half. Look, you just gave yourself a $4.50 raise. So it just alarming to me that people don't know how to do that. And so I was like, I need to start career coaching, because when I learned that these companies don't care and you are literally a number you are literally a number to them, like you got to stick up for yourself. You got to be your advocate. So you can definitely get some more money out the deal. At least while you're there.
And I love that you're willing to actually share with people how to do that, because I was saying this. For me, coming from a job that I had before I transitioned into mental health, I hadn't had a raise in about 5 years. So when I came up here and they're offering me at least 12 to 15 grand more, it would look it looked like paradise. So I was like, what? I could go ahead and, you know, get into what I want to do.
Yeah.
And when I transitioned to this new space that I'm in now, they offered over at least 25 more than what I had at the original part. So it went like, whoa, okay, maybe I will put in a little more time. Here's the thing. When all this was said and done, I didn't realize that I went in thinking, hey, you just got one situation. They went in thinking, boom, she can run this program. Boom, she's gonna do this.
Yep.
And now I'm in it and I'm like, what the Sam happened here? Not realizing was playing on the back end that I had no clue of. So
when you telling them about your experience and going through all of that, they are clocking everything that they can use you for.
That you definitely are right about. Yeah. I think for me, the big piece was stepping out, and I'm going to go back a little bit, because we talked about, you know, family and friends and people who love you.
Yeah.
Always have this thing of don't leave this good county job, which means AKA don't leave this security. You know, this is a check every 2 weeks or every month. How do you deal with not getting discouraged and not getting to the space of just saying, I'll stay? How did you deal with that?
Of saying I'll stay at the job, or?
Of saying, no, I won't stay. That I, you know what, I'm worth more. I'm not going to keep going with the bare minimum. And I'm not going to let your good counsel that really, don't you bring yourself back here asking us for a dollar. That's what it really is. But how did you keep from getting discouraged?
I think I've built up a skin that's so tough over the years, because I did. And when you listen to your family and friends, the thing you gotta kind of differentiate is they are speaking from, they think they're looking out for your best interests, but they don't actually know. Nobody know you like you do. So you can take what they say, but don't get mad at it. You know what I'm saying? Just let them talk their stuff. I remember previously I had said to a cousin, I need to quit this job. And the first thing she said was, well, how are you going to pay your bills?
Hello. That's the code. Don't come ask me for no money here. That was the code.
I'm a snippy Sagittarius at times. And I was like, do I ask you for money? Like, why are you worried about my bills? Like, it ain't none of your business. But that's only speaking out of concern. And sometimes we got to realize they don't have any ill intent behind what they're saying. It's just that most of us are, you know, conditioned to one way. Some of us, and there's nothing wrong with, you know, working a job or whatever and nothing like that. Everybody has their place to me. And some people, they know this one way. So anything outside of that way, it doesn't compute to them. So they're like, oh, red alert, red alert. What are you going to do? Because in that same situation, they wouldn't know. So you don't take it personal or whatever. And, you know, if like I said, God told me I could quit. So what everybody else got to say, I really don't care.
You said that God told me, and you know, I always have this line, when God talked to me, it was a one-on-one conversation. It was not a conference call.
Yeah, exactly.
I think for a lot of us, we get to that space and we're like, okay, I heard the voice, I heard what he said, but now I need to go to somebody over here to get some clarification. Maybe they could be an ear in the process. And he's just saying, no, I don't need ears. It was me and you in that conversation.
Yeah. And I because think, a lot of people, they can't, people can only speak to you from their perspective.
Okay.
So if people who is used to working a job and you want to strike out and open a business, you can't talk to those people who are comfortable working a job because they're not going to understand your ambition, your vision of whatever. You got to find a community for that. You know, people that has walked that same life. And it's the same thing. You got people that are entrepreneurs and you can't say nothing about working, you know, give them any corporate America talk. You know, I've dated a guy before, he was an entrepreneur and I'm complaining about my job. He didn't know what I was talking about. So it's like, I need to call somebody else and talk to them and express my grievances. So, you know, everybody just ain't gonna understand, and it's okay. And that's why you find your community of people that kind of like minds, so they would know what you're talking about and could give you some solid advice about what you're doing.
What I love about it is you talked about the vision, and as you were talking about walking into your vision, I thought about the body of faith. For me, when I think about the body of faith, I think about the mindset, the vision, the mouth, the hands of faith, and then more so the feet of faith. I know for me, people always think, well, you know, just having faith is just making it happen and just moving out. But it's a process. At least for me, it was a process. I had to have the mindset of, hey, this is not the vision or the expectation you have for yourself. So now I got to now wrap my head around, this is a new thing. Because I don't know about you, I know, but for me, I was a creature of habit. And it was always, well, this is what I've done. This is how I'm going to do it. And it's going to work out. And you couldn't tell me because I was like a pit bull with a bone. It was going to happen. And meanwhile, being stuck in that mindset was keeping me held captive from the new stuff, the growth, the excitement. What was it for you and your mindset of faith that you had to kind of overcome?
It is definitely a process because it's almost like, I got to do what? Like, that don't even make sense.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm a weird person because I'll sit back for a second and then I'll do it. I would not, let me see how it work out. Like my mom is a creature of habit. So a lot of things that I do, she do not get at all. She also from another generation too. She's a baby boomer. So that's a whole nother layer unto it. But she's gotten to the point like, that's just Michelle.
I love that because you brought up an interesting point, that generational piece. But before we get to that generational piece, the mindset for you, you said it was easy for you to get up and go, but mom struggled with it.
Yeah, because my mom is a creature of habit. And like my mom, she came here and visited me the other week. And she was talking about, I ought to move in with you or whatever. But I know she just talking. My mom will never leave Missouri. that's her home. That's where she grew up, you know, her sisters are there and she doesn't like change. Like that generation just don't like change. And she don't like change very well. She like knowing what it is and what it's going to be. And she's comfortable. She finds comfort in that.
So it sounds like for mom, it was more so a thing of comfortability and predictability. And then for you, it's the total opposite. It's, you know what? This isn't predictable. I can try something new.
Yeah.
I think it's a beautiful thing because hearing you talk about that with that mindset, for me, I totally identify with mom, wanting that place to get planted, But I'm finding for me, being planted wasn't always, this is not the case. I'm finding the beauty of being unpredictable. That's what I'm discovering in my own life. Along with that, having the mindset of being positive when there's just not a lot of positivity riding around you. How does that work? Yeah.
You know what? You got to live in the present. And I think that's where a lot of people get hung out at. They too busy worried about tomorrow and what's going to happen this and what's going to happen that. Work on today. Tomorrow going to work itself out. Day by day, work on, and you know, today, and do what you can today and let tomorrow worry about tomorrow. And I think when you start worrying about tomorrow instead of focusing on what you're doing right now, it puts you in a mind state of worry. And then that negative talk comes and like, oh my God, what am I going to do here? And so-and-so, instead of focusing on the task at hand today. So it's almost like you got to redirect that focus and focus on today, do what you got to do today, and tomorrow we're going to be all right. Tomorrow going to be all right. You can't do nothing about tomorrow, and you can't do nothing about yesterday. All you got control over is right now.
Right now. You gave me a whole word right there. That'll preach. Okay. I love how when you talked about that, just being in the moment of now, here's the other piece. If you're talking about walking it out, the vision. Mm-hmm. So many times, and I even for myself, I've noticed that in my process of this, I was given a vision, and you know how you got that vision and you see it and you're like, I'm gonna walk this way, but there's detours and twists and turns in the vision sometimes. How do you handle those detours and twists and turns in the vision when that was not exactly the way you thought it was supposed to go?
It's like you gotta, that's the other piece to it. It's almost like you got to, things are just not gonna always go your way. And when that detour, you gotta learn how to say, you know what, this didn't work out the way, you know, I thought it was going to work out. Maybe I missed the exit somewhere. Maybe I skipped a step, because sometimes we do that. We'll try to skip a step to see if we can get to the destination quicker. And it's like, maybe I skipped a step. Maybe I did this. And what you do with that detour and that wrong turn is you kind of sit back and be like, okay, what did I do wrong? So the next time you can go the right way.
So that's a self.
So don't, if you get to that stuff don't work out the way, don't trip off of it. Just sit back and be like, okay, what happened here? Assess what happened, and then see where you can fix it and do something differently the next time you step out there and try it. You know, and then some stuff ain't meant to be fixed. Sometimes, you know, that's when you gotta be like, God, is this what you really have for me, or is this what I'm supposed to be doing?
That's when you gotta go back to the drawing board and say, is this the vision or is this my flesh? Is this what I'm doing? I love how in the mindset piece, and you talked about being present in the moment, the vision. I love how you talked about having those detours and really doing that self-evaluation. When you talk about the mouth of faith. Mm-hmm. This is the one people don't realize, and I know people love to talk about positive affirmations, but yeah. It's a difference when that mind is saying one thing and your mouth saying a different story.
Yeah.
How do you deal? What do you do? What does that look like for you?
And see, that's when you're hoping something would happen, because the power of prayer, to me, prayer and manifestation is almost like one and the same. Mm-hmm. And if your mind, if you're saying one thing out your mouth and your mind ain't connecting to it, it probably ain't gonna work for you, because you have to actually believe it. And that's how you got to do the affirmation. If you wake up every day and say, I'm beautiful, you have to believe that you are beautiful. You can't wake up and be like, I'm beautiful, but in the back of your head, girl, you got that pimple on your face. You like, you, you got to be like, no. You got to tell the ego, no, I'm beautiful. I don't care what you say. You know, and so you have to train yourself to actually believe in what it is you're saying, believe in your vision, because at the end of the day, when those roadblocks come, when the naysayers come and all of that, you have to believe enough in your vision for yourself. Nobody else is going to do it for you. You can't be begging for support and people won't support. You can't rely on that. You got to rely on you and what you know to be true. And you gotta believe it and have that confidence in it.
So. I love it. You gave me a whole word right now. Yeah, a whole word. Honey, a whole word. I want you to give me the words you would give to somebody who is on the edge of stepping out. If this was somebody that came to you and said, you know what, Shell, I heard you. You was on the Patrice Grantley show. I heard you. I want to step out, but I'm going to be honest with you. My knee's knocking. I'm nervous. What are your words?
I would say, just do it. Just do it. And like I said, don't get out of tomorrow. Worry about right now. Just do it. And you know, the realism of it, either it's gonna be the best decision or the worst decision, but you won't know unless you do it. And if you get too scared, worried about it might be the worst decision, then it'll never happen and you'll never know. And then 5 years going down the line, and you know, now you're singing a shoulda, coulda, woulda song.
Yes, sir.
And we all know that song. We all sung that song before. So it's like, just do it, get it out the way. And I promise you, sometimes if it's in your heart, it's in your spirit, and it's telling you to do it, do it. I promise you a weight will be lifted off your shoulders once you actually do it.
Y'all, I tell y'all, honey, Miss Michelle from Share from the chat. I say, baby, she done fed me like a fat girl at a buffet. You hear me? She done fed me. So in this experience, I got to tell you, you left me with some great last words of just getting out and doing it. And I'm just, it's a beautiful thing. Where can people connect with you? What's your social media? How can they connect and get connected to you?
So you can find me on, first place is YouTube. My show is called Soul Shell from the Chat. And you can just type that right in YouTube. I'll come on up. You can find me on Instagram. It's at Soul Shell _ from the Chat. And you can go on my Twitter, but I'm just put a disclaimer out there about my Twitter. I'm all over the place, but it's at Soul Shell if you care to indulge.
Well, thank y'all for tuning in today to the Patrice Brantley Show, where helping others is the name of the game and where we push purpose, positivity, and personal growth. Join me next week as we connect with Miss Sabrina Henley, who's going to be talking to us about being a brand consultant. All right, y'all know how this goes. Let's go out and be great, because we are great. And our greatness is now. It no longer awaits. You all have an amazing day.
100% owned and operated by Shawnee Radio App. They said we couldn't do it, and we did it anyway. The hottest independent network in the world. Kaboom! Kaboom! Kaboom.